Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Oh boy, we are going to empower you. We've got a special show for you. We are going to be talking about homesteading. It's kind of old-fashioned term, but it's kind of come back into fashion. So we're going to talk about that. And, we got a special segment we want to play for you for the second part of the show, but it is empowering and it's educational. And if you're a low information voter out there, you better call your friends and tell them to tune in because you're going to get a history lesson. But it's going to be fun. It is. It's empowerment. That's what it's about. It's about, you know, not controlling you, but empowering you. There's the difference, right? We do have a quack report, but before we get to all that good stuff, don't forget, if you're looking for thousands of nutritional articles to answer a lot of your health questions about how to start and maintain a healthy lifestyle, there's lots of nutritional topics that will answer a majority of your questions at SeattleOrganicRestaurants.com. Now, their website isn't about just where to go eat in Seattle. It's about empowering you with health information, and they do a good job of it. So you can go over to their website, or it's simple, just to go to the PowerHerbs.com website and go to the links page and look for their banner and just click on that. It's just easy. So check out SeattleOrganicRestaurants.com and tell them we sent you. All righty, big salute and semper fi to our military, praying for righteous leadership in our military, and we're lifting up our men and women in uniform who are righteous. And while we're hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, we're going to pray for all of America. We need righteous leadership. As you are aware, if you've been listening to the news, all kinds of hell is breaking loose. So we need righteous leadership restored in this land. And the only person that I know, the only entity that I know can help us with that is the Almighty Creator. So let's hope you'll join me in that quest to turn this nation around, because it is a great nation. And we're going to learn all about a lot of what our great nation's about in the second part of the show. All right, without further ado, let's do the quack report. Splenda, the sucralose, has been proven now to contribute to diabetes. People have been using it because they are diabetic. The world's most popular non-caloric sweetener recently has been exposed to be a fraud. A new study published in the Journal of Diabetes Care reveals that Splenda, the sucralose, which is commonly marketed to diabetics as a safe sweetener that won't mess with their blood sugar levels, well, actually, it elicits diabetes-promoting effects if you consume it. Researchers at the Center for Human Nutrition at the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, Missouri, made this discovery after evaluating the metabolic effects after some test group consumed the Splenda. And these were people that were diabetic but hadn't been on artificial sweeteners or any sweetener substitutes. So as relayed by GreenMedInfo.com, they said a single dose of Splenda is going to increase your plasma glucose concentration by over a half a point per liter. So it led to a 20% spike in your insulin level and a 22% increased peak insulin secretion rate. It's not going to help you. Let's put that. Splenda also, they're saying, is linked to causing gastrointestinal upset, migraine headaches, and environmental damage. No wonder. Moving along on the cracker. Let's see. Mammograms are in the news. The Susan G. Komen for Breast Cancer Awareness reports on their site that breast cancer will strike more than 1.3 million women a year over the next 20 years. And they're proud to report 70% of women 40 and older receive their regular mammograms. So what they aren't telling people is that the pharmaceutical and the radiation funding awareness project that they promote to millions of women offers false diagnoses. That's what the mammograms offer. And the technology also promotes the likelihood of breast cancer. That has already come out by medical science research. As a matter of fact, the New England Journal of Medicine identified about 1.3 million cases of misdiagnosed breast cancer, which, mammograms lead you to a lot of false positives, freak women out for no reason, and the radiation that you get year after year on those things does increase your risk of breast cancer. And, of course, Angelina Jolie was in the news today that because of her family history of breast and uterine cancer, she opted for a double mastectomy. That's her prevention. She obviously hadn't heard about dandelion root, but oh well. She went through several surgeries over the course of 3 months, and now she thinks she's safe. Okay. Journal of Lancet Oncology, facts in there, study verified that even the most invasive cancers appear to regress with time if they're left untreated. The body is able to deal with it if you help it out and give it the nutrition it needs and stop hindering it with radiation treatments. Mammograms actually put off a low energy x-ray, that 30 kilowatts VP radiation, which is about a 300% more carcinogenic radiation that you would get from your microwave and some other things. So today's radiation risk models actually were developed after they noticed how radiation does affect your DNA and the human cells. Even low radiation from the mammograms actually interfere with your body's self-repairing DNA mechanism to fight off cancer. So more reports on that, I'm sure, coming out as we go. Last but not least, in the Quack Report, hey, do you know what the 6 healthiest foods you can possibly add to your diet? Well, they got a new list out, and a lot of it is fruits and vegetables, of course, and some fish. Guava was mentioned because it has a high concentration of vitamins and minerals, and it will boost your immune system, helps with the common cold even. It also has more potassium than a banana, especially 63% more, actually. It contains antioxidants like lycopene, like your tomatoes do, and it helps flush out some toxins that your body may have. So when you eat them on a routine basis, it's going to help prevent prostate cancer, they say. Next on the list is blueberries. Now, you can even eat the frozen ones, lots of vitamins and minerals, very high fiber, and also help prevent weight gain, provides you with healthy calories, and absorbs and displaces high-calorie refined foods. So if you're still eating some things you shouldn't, blueberries will help counter that a little bit. Cabbage is on the list, high-packed vegetable, jam-packed with nutrients. It's very good for irritable bowel syndrome, helps you with cancer of the digestive tract. So cabbage is awesome. I actually would stuff it in my bra when I was a nursing mommy, and it helped reduce inflammation from mastitis. So something in the cabbage helps do that, so it's awesome. Beets are also on the list, another cancer-fighting vegetable, high in folic acid, provides excellent help if you're a pregnant mother, and also the pigments in the beets help prevent onset of cancer, they say. Sardines is the fish that's on the list. Some people call it bait, but sardines are awesome. And they're loaded with omega-3 fatty acids known to provide, to help counter the effects of the bad cholesterol levels and also helps you lose some weight. So there's a bunch of potassium and magnesium and zinc and vitamin B to help boost your immune system in that little bitty fish. Last but not least on the list is the canned pumpkin, or just pumpkin if it's, you know, in the fall if you're making pumpkin pie. But pumpkin has lots of fiber for the digestion. Weight Watchers uses it a lot. Great for irritable bowel syndrome. And fresh pumpkin, if you use that, best source, has a lot of pigments in it that have the vitamins A and beta-carotene. Very good. So pumpkin is going to help your digestive system and give you some nutrition to boot. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about homesteading. You know, homesteading is kind of an old-fashioned term. You know, but it seems to be coming back into fashion. What homesteading defines really is self-sufficient living, you know, such as planting your own food, having some livestock, maybe some chickens, you know, and, you know, maintaining, building your own home maybe, having a small-scale production of some home goods. Maybe you make some your own clothes or crafts, that kind of thing. But the term homestead was widely used in the U.S. around 1862, and the U.S. federal government drafted the Homestead Act, and it was signed by President Lincoln. So this law allowed individuals who did not take up arms against the U.S. government, who were 21 or older, were a U.S. resident and head of a family, they could apply for a federal land grant. And northern farmers, they wanted to own their own farms and operate them differently from the southern plantations, which, you know, didn't include slavery. So this grant was designed to give farmers 160 acres of free land to foster the westward expansion of the United States. Now, a National Homestead Monument is actually located in southeast Nebraska. Now, on July 4th of 1861, President Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, "It is the purpose of our government to elevate the condition of men, to lift artificial burdens from all shoulders, and to give everyone an unfettered start and a fair chance in the race of life." End of quote. So how did this idea start? You know, the concept of homesteading in America actually came from England, and the British called it smallholder. So these terms were often associated with countries engaged with national expansion. And acts such as the U.S. Homestead Act helped to control expansion and population in certain areas. So these federal laws later led to the management of timber and livestock. So this was the starting point for laws to subsidize households in the 1930s and 40s under President Roosevelt, which led the way for future socialized government programs. You know, self-sufficiency movement is an interesting thing. The resurgence of homesteading or self-sufficiency, living off the grid, preppers, whatever you want to call it, reemerged in the late 1990s. There are various levels of homesteading, from those involved in growing their own food to those living totally off the grid. by the urban homesteading, by then, you know, by the 1990s, the urban homesteading was in full force, with small-scale family and community gardens popping up, along with homegrown businesses operating out of the family garage. So self-reliance was picking up speed as the tax burden grew in America. Now, some Americans are determined to be self-sufficient, and that means backyard gardens needed more real estate. So a degree of independence comes when you grow it, you build it, and you provide it yourself. So the homesteading lifestyle is different from the standards most U.S. households are used to. Now, for those on limited incomes and establishing a self-sufficient homestead from scratch, it can be challenging. But the financial savings from adapting to homesteading lifestyle can correlate with fewer material luxuries. And the cost of living is lower because you're using less of the major infrastructure. You're using less of those utilities that we're so used to. So why is homesteading attractive? Yeah, why is homesteading alluring? It's alluring to people. You know, if it's hard work and it's long hours and there's fewer luxuries, why would people dream of homesteading? Well, for the most part, it's about lifting the burden of government control and the unknown, which can cause anxiety. It is also about connecting with like-minded modern homesteaders and providing more security. So in the modern world, most people work for someone or some corporation, which at any moment the unemployment arrangement could end. So there's also a sense of pride when we, you know, rise up to meet the challenges of homesteading. So the urban life is comfortable and convenient, but some are saying the price of the stress to keep it is too high. And homesteading doesn't mean that you have to go it alone. Many are connecting their homesteads, sharing skills and ideas, and helping each other. It's almost like, you know, they're forming their own kibbutz. Well, let's talk about this new American dream is basically what we're saying, because for some, the concept of the American dream has changed. So the value system of the modern homesteader, that was different than they're more economical and they're more creative in their life plan. They know that living simply doesn't mean living in poverty. Okay, it's a difference. These folks have tasted the rat race and they choked on it basically. So they know the difference between the quality of life and the quantity in their life. So keeping up with the Joneses is not part of their life plan. Now, Mother Earth News magazine has been running a series of homesteading articles, and they had one article such as, you know, at what age is it time to take your chicken and it's time to become, you know, the family dinner? I had no idea. I had no idea that, you know, a chicken past 6 months of age, you're not going to eat that. Did you know that? Well, if you don't raise chickens, how would you know? Anyway, very interesting stuff. Now, if you are a subscriber to the online newsletters on the powerherbs.com website, you can go there and click on newsletters. And if you're subscribed to the newsletters, we're sending you some of these links to these empowering articles on homesteading. So if you sign up for the newsletters, you can get this information free every week. The American Survival Newsletter goes out on Tuesdays. So Dr. Carly writes for that. Ty Bollinger, Cancer Truth Chronicles, writes for it. Melanie Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver and Alfred Adask have your financial updates. And I write for it as well. And so you're going to get lots of empowering information from a lot of authors. So if you haven't signed up for it, do. And it's an opt-in thing. It's if you want to unsubscribe at any time, you can. But you will get this information to you every week, and it's free. You can share it with family and friends. You know, pass along the empowerment. It's a great thing. But, you know, if you live on a homestead, there is no time to be bored. Really, the days are always filled with something to do. There are no idle hands among the self-sufficient. So candle making isn't just for the Renaissance festival. And it takes teamwork, and with practice comes proficiency. So homestead children, you know what? They're learning new words like clothesline and clothespin. You know, There's no electric dryer, honey. It's the wind and the sun, and it's you take the laundry outside. And there's a way to deal with that. I had no idea that, you know, your clothespins, you know, there's a certain way you can treat your clothespins so they don't crack and break. They last longer. And, of course, you know, those links in those articles in the newsletter show you all about that. And you know how your clothespins, if you think about it, they're hitting wet clothes, and the clothespins, the wood, if it's not plastic, if they're wood, they can mold and mildew, and then, you know, that could come off on a white shirt. So they teach you how to deal with your clothespins so you don't have those problems, and I think it's an amazing thing. All these little tricks are great. They're really great. So the homestead folks know how to adjust, and they're going to be able to cope with whatever the future holds. And more people are realizing that governments can't and should not have to take care of them. So the homestead concept is liberating, and it's attracting folks, which, you know, is the reason why they're leaving the urban areas for greener pastures. There's a lot of people, you know, putting their houses up for sale, and they're moving out, you know, out of the city limit, a little country, get a little homestead, a little acreage, a garden, learn to, you know, can and do things for yourself, all right? Well, let's talk about the most cherished symbol, because, you know, the most cherished symbol of the United States is really the Declaration of Independence. Homesteading embraces this document. No other document, including the Constitution, confirms the rights and liberties God gave us, which can't be taken away by governments. So if you need a little refresher, we're going to, on the second part of the show, we're going to play a little soundbite. Well, it's 20 minutes or so. And it's going to really inform you of how that document helps you secure your rights and establish them, and remind those leaders that try to take them away from you what that document actually says. You know, Thomas Jefferson authored this document, and he knew a little something, didn't he? He did. He knew how the tyranny mind thinks. He had the taste of tyranny, and he didn't want us to have it. So we're gonna play that in a little bit, though. It's longer than we have time now before this commercial break coming up, so we're gonna play that soon. But you know, self-defense is important too. So if you think about it, homesteading is kind of a form of self-defense. Now, what governments can give you, they can take away, and it is a shame that we have to live in times where we have to defend ourselves from the government. You know, a recent example is the IRS in the news harassing conservative groups that were seeking tax exemption, right? And whatever your plan is out there to be more self-sufficient, don't forget to prepare for your medical self-help needs. Okay, a lot of people forget that. They'll stock up on, you know, dehydrated food and water and their ammunition, but then they forget to stock up on their immune system ammo, you know, some of the medicinal, natural things that will help them when they're sick or a family member is sick. So call Apothecary Herbs if you want to look into that. They have a free product catalog they can send you that will feature their toxin removal, organ cleansing, and their immune system formulas that have a 10-year shelf life. So these products will be ready when you need them. So you can call toll-free to request that catalog at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., outside, the international number is 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. Or you can order online. They do have a vitamin vault. If you want to stock up on the half and full case discounts, you'll save a lot of money that way. You can go to thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, and check it out there. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Now, if you signed up for any of the newsletters, the HealthQuest or the American Survival newsletter on their website, you do occasionally occasionally get discount coupons in the newsletters to use towards your herbal products. So I think in this week's issue, subscribers are getting a 15% coupon they can use. And you can use it on the website, you can use it over the phone if you want to place an order, or you can use it on your mail order form from the catalog and save a big chunk of change if you're stocking up. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com. Or give them a call at 866-229-3663. And also, a big heads up to our UK friends. Recently, we've been able to ship herbs. You know, they're part of the European Union, and they kind of clamped down on herbs a year or so ago. But now we can ship small orders, personal orders, to individuals under $3,000. So we've missed serving our UK customers, and we're really happy that we can provide them with the professional strength products that we make at Apothecary Herbs. And so if you live in the UK, we can once again serve you and wish you well. So we're all excited about that. And yes, yes, free product catalog will be coming out hopefully the end of the month. It is at the printers, so Apothecary Herbs will be sending out a new catalog soon, but we do have the current one still in stock. You can download the PDF version of it off the website if you'd like and check it out there. Or you can request a hard copy mail to you, first class mail, and it's absolutely free. So check that out when you can. Let's see, coming up in a week on the 21st, we're going to have Dr. Rebecca Carley with us. So mark your calendars. She's our wellness expert, and, you know, she's an expert on vaccines and things. And if you want to check out her website, just click on her banner that's on the links page at thepowerherbs.com. But she'll be back here on the 21st, so I hope you can join us then. And I know we're coming up to a break, but after the break, we're going to be playing this clip. It's on YouTube, but, you know, it's just a lady that's really, in a very succinct and compact way, explaining what the Declaration of Independence does for you as an American citizen and what it does for all of us. And I like her. She's got spunk. She's got attitude, you know, she says it like it is, just like, you know, the founding fathers wrote the document. And no, it doesn't need to be changed. So we're going to take a break, and we'll have that when we come back. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Rachel Singers, Lonnie Mack, Twang, and Eddie. He's been ringing. We're going steady. Take it easy. Take me high. Line. House of fire. No commotion. Poker passion. Deeper purple satisfaction. Baby. Got it. Give me. Getting hot. Sandy's cooking. Leslie Gore. Richie Valens. End of story. My beast of Fuji. I'm a Kamasutra. Rama Lama. Richard Perry. Spectre Barry. Righteous Archers. Nielsen. Harry. Shimmy. Coco Poppin. Fats is back. And finger poppin.
Tabulation, Carly Simon, the A-holder, Rolling Stone, and Santa Folder, Johnny Cash and Johnny Rivers, Cancer Now, I got the Shivers, Mungo, Jerry, Peter, Paula, Mary, Dr. John, the Night, they turn for Doris Day, and Jack the Ripper, got a ghost of Goddess, what a Leah Russell, give me Shell, the Miracles, and Smokey Blisses, like guitars, the Fender Bass, and Mushroom, Mama, Bonnie, Bramley, Wilson, Pickett, Stop, and Kick It.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
On Herb Talk Live, and we've got a special treat. We're going to learn a little bit about the Declaration of Independence, and it's presented by a lady who has been studying what this document means, and she has a very concise way of educating us. So since they're not teaching it in the public schools, I think it'd be refreshing to hear it, you know, straight up the way it is, right between the beady eyes, and don't sugarcoat it, just give it to me, and let's play it.
Does the federal government have lawful authority to make any restrictions on our guns and ammunition?
No.
Most people assume that they do, since that's what the federal government has been doing. But they don't have lawful authority. I'll show you. Let's look first at when the federal government started restricting firearms. It was in 1927 when Congress banned the mailing of certain weapons. We went from 1776 to 1927, 150 years after our founding, when Congress decided we better start disarming the American people. Remember, the progressives had taken over the federal government by this time. In 1934, the federal government started regulating gangster weapons. In 1938, Congress told gun dealers they had to get a federal firearms license and maintain records of the names and addresses of persons who bought firearms. Restrictions on gun ownership have increased, and we now have a president and powerful political forces who want to disarm us entirely. So what are we going to do about it? Are we going to beg for crumbs and ask them to please let us keep some of our weapons if we get a license and pass their background check? Some of you may have seen the letter from the Utah Sheriff's Association. It is shameful because it begs Obama to let Congress decide what regulations to impose, and don't do it by executive order, please, Mr. President. But we must make a principled resistance. To do that, we must learn the applicable principle. So let's see what our Constitution says about whether the federal government has lawful authority to impose gun control. Now, here is an interesting but little known fact about our Constitution. It is one of enumerated powers only. When we, the people, ordained and established the Constitution, we created the federal government. It is our creature. We are the creator. It is the creature. It is not our master.
Right.
We listed, itemized, enumerated every single power we delegated to the federal government. That's why the Constitution is so short. Depending upon how you count, we delegated only 21 powers to the federal government. The powers we delegated to Congress over the country at large are listed primarily at Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 1 through 16. So where in the Constitution did we, the people, delegate to our creature authority to restrict? Nowhere. We never gave the federal government that authority. It becomes so simple, easy, and clear when you just look to the Constitution. So, all laws made by Congress, all rules of the Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Tobacco, any and all executive orders which purport to restrict firearms, and any and all Supreme Court opinions which purport to restrict firearms, are all unconstitutional as outside the scope of the powers we delegated to our creature in this Constitution. Now let's talk about the right of self-defense. Our natural right to defend ourselves, our families, and our communities from attack is as old as human history. The Declaration of Independence at the second paragraph says our rights come from God. And it is God who gave us the right to defend ourselves with lethal force if necessary. The Second Amendment is not the source of our right. It merely recognizes that the right is to be free from any interference whatsoever by the federal government. What is it about the word infringe that we do not understand? Our framers were all for an armed American people. They understood that arms are our ultimate defense in the event the federal government oversteps its bounds. James Madison, father of our Constitution, writes in the second half of Federalist Paper number 46 that the reason the citizens, that's the militia, are armed is to defend ourselves, our families, communities, and states in the event the federal government ignores the Constitution limits on its delegated powers and turns into a tyranny. Now let's look at the early days of our republic. our framers thought a heavily armed citizenry was a wonderful idea. I'll give three examples proving this. The militia fought in our war for independence. In the movie Patriot, Mel Gibson's character commanded a South Carolina militia. These were civilians who took up arms against the British. Everyone knew that the militia was the armed citizens, farmers, shopkeepers, blacksmiths, clergy. The militia still is the citizens. Two, do you know what a letter of marque and reprisal is? Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 authorizes Congress to grant letters of marque and reprisal. That clause permits Congress to authorize privately owned armed ships to make war on our enemies. During the depredations of the Barbary pirates during the administration of Thomas Jefferson, Congress issued a letter of marque and reprisal authorizing a privately owned armed ship to go make war on the Barbary pirates. In the War of 1812, when the British attacked us, Congress issued letters of marque and reprisal authorizing privately owned armed ships, privateers, to attack British ships. These privateer ships were as heavily armed as the ships of our own Navy. Our framers had no problem with we, the people, being as heavily armed as our regular military. That is because they did not see themselves as our rulers. Now let's see where the Constitution granted authority to Congress to require all able-bodied adult male citizens to get armed. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 16. Pursuant to that clause, in 1792, Congress passed the Militia Act of 1792. This act required all able-bodied male citizens, except, of course, for federal officers and employees, between the ages of 18 and under 45, to buy a rifle, ammunition, and report for training in their local militia. As Section 1 of the Militia Act of 1792 shows, the militia is the civilian citizens. So our framers thought it such a fine idea that the American people be armed that they required it by law. And they contemplated an American people who were so heavily armed that they could be privateers and wreak vengeance on our enemies under letters of marque and reprisal. That is the Constitution our framers gave us. That is the Constitution we still have. Now we must invoke it. There are ominous signs all around us. Why are Obama and his henchmen trying to disarm us? What was the leading cause of unnatural death in the 20th century? Governments murdering their own people. Democide. Soviet Russia, Nazi Germany, Communist China, Cuba, Cambodia, North Korea, all over the world, communist and fascist and Islamic dictatorships murder their own peoples by the tens of millions. And do not think that that isn't coming this way. Obama's buddy Bill Ayers sat around with his Weather Underground cohorts planning how to kill 25 million Americans, and I'm sure the number is much higher now. But before they round us up and take us away to the extermination camps, they must disarm us. That is what is going on. Ann Coulter pointed out recently that universal registration leads to confiscation, and confiscation leads to extermination. It always has. Why do you think they are so hell-bent on disarming us? If the federal government has slingshots, all we need is slingshots. If the federal government has muskets, all we need is muskets. But if the federal government has fully automatic weapons and hollow points, and all we have is muskets, we will be murdered by the tens of millions. To those who believe that the federal government should have a monopoly on force, read the second half of Federalist Paper number 46, written by James Madison, father of our Constitution. The purpose of armed citizens is to fight the federal government if the need arises. So let us have no more talk of reasonable restrictions and background checks imposed by the federal government. When you fight the dragon, are you going to cut off its head? Or are you going to beg permission to trim its claws? When you are drawing the line in the sand, where are you going to draw it? Are you going to agree to some infringements by the federal government? Or will you draw the line at the Constitution, which says the federal government may not impose any restrictions? We should be nullifying, ignoring all federal laws and rules restricting guns and ammunition. Ignore them. We must cut the head off the dragon and cut and draw the line at the Constitution. Now, this is a charming essay, The Coming Day of Burn Barrels and Blessings. It was posted on survivalblog.com by James Wesley Rawls. Now, he is a manly man. He proposes we set aside a day where all the gun dealers bring their records of firearm sales, their federal firearms licenses, their ATF rule books, and all other such unconstitutional stuff to their local town square where burn barrels will be set up and they will burn it all. Rawls plans to wear a Guy Fawkes mask. The movie V for Vendetta tells you all about Guy Fawkes and suggests that everyone else wear a mask also. On the same day, the dealers will wipe their computers clean of all such records, claiming, if asked, that they were forced to do so by masked men carrying guns. And remember, the federal government has no lawful authority to make any restrictions or infringements throughout the country on our right to keep and bear arms. Now I have a few words for all state and county officers about their oaths of office. Article 6, Clause 3 of the Federal Constitution and Article 1, Section 4 of the Tennessee Constitution require every official in this state to support the Federal Constitution. When you acquiesce in unconstitutional acts of the federal government, you are not supporting the Constitution. You are conniving with tyrants against your own people. And if you connive with tyrants against your own people so that you can keep your federal funding, then shame on you for becoming so corrupt that you allow yourself to be bribed with money that your grandchildren will have to pay back. And if you connive with tyrants against your own people because you are too cowardly to stand up to them, then you need to resign your office and let a manly man or a womanly woman do the job you are too chicken to do. Our Declaration of Independence recites how our, and this makes me weep, how our forefathers opposed with manly firmness King George's invasions on the rights of the people. But yesterday at the hearing on Senator May Beaver's bill, three members of the Senate Judiciary Committee showed that they lack the manly firmness to oppose federal invasions on our God-given rights to self-defense.
Yes. Who are they? Tell us who they are.
Brian Overby. Kelsey, Overby, and Finney. Now, a few words about the Tennessee Constitution and a state militia. When, in 1870, the present Constitution for the state of Tennessee was ratified, the people of Tennessee contemplated an armed citizenry. Article 8 of the Tennessee Constitution authorizes a state militia. Our state legislature may lawfully do the same thing for our state that Article 1, Section 8, Clause 16 authorizes Congress to do for the country at large. We can form a state militia, require all able-bodied male citizens to join. We may exempt males who are members of pacifist churches, and we may provide that any other able-bodied male citizen who doesn't want to show up for musters and training must pay a fine. Yeah. Article 1, Section 28 of the Tennessee Constitution says that no citizen of this state shall be compelled to bear arms, provided he will pay an equivalent to be ascertained by law. This shows that the people of Tennessee once understood the importance of having all able-bodied male citizens, except for federal officers and employees, you don't want them in your militia, armed. Anyone who was not willing to take up arms in defense of this state could be fined. Yet Senators Kelsey, Overby, and Finney on the Senate Judiciary Committee aren't willing to lift a finger to prevent the federal government from disarming us entirely. What we need is some of that manly firmness Thomas Jefferson wrote about in the Declaration of Independence. And now I have a dire warning about the Second Amendment. Our misplaced focus on the Second Amendment as being the source of our right to keep and bear arms is a looming disaster. I'll show you how judges on the Supreme Court look at this. Article 3, Section 2, Clause 1 gives federal courts judicial power over all cases arising under this Constitution. The Second Amendment is part of the Constitution. Therefore, federal judges have judicial power over the Second Amendment. That means, in their minds, that they have the power to determine what the Second Amendment means, that they have the power to determine the scope and extent of the right. That's what they believe. In D.C. v. Heller, which was decided in 2008 by the Supreme Court, five judges on the Supreme Court said the Second Amendment gives us an individual right to keep and bear arms unconnected with service in the militia. But four judges said it didn't give us that right. Now here's the warning. If Scalia, Thomas, Alito, or Kennedy die, and Obama appoints the replacement, you will have five judges on that court saying the Second Amendment does not give individuals the right to keep and bear arms. That is why we must stop babbling about our Second Amendment rights, because we are one Supreme Court justice away from having our precious Second Amendment right taken away from us forever. The letter from the Utah Sheriff's Association regurgitates the ignorant babble about how the Second Amendment is what gives us the right to bear arms. Well, just wait until Obama or Hillary replaces one of our four remaining judges on that court. So we better start pointing to the Declaration of Independence, second paragraph, and insist that our right to keep and bear arms, to self-defense, comes from Almighty God and is unalienable, and no black-robed human can touch it. And now a few words about the very high status of the county sheriff. Your office is provided for in the Tennessee Constitution. You are elected by the citizens of your county. You take an oath to support the federal Constitution and the Tennessee Constitution. You are the highest law enforcement official in your county. I haven't read Sheriff Mack's book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, but I have watched with delight, as I think you will too, a series of five short videos where Sheriff Mack explains the powers and duties of the county sheriff. You can find the videos if you Google Sheriff Mack, the power of the county sheriff. The federal government has no lawful authority to restrict our arms. We didn't delegate that power to the federal government in the federal constitution. The Tennessee Constitution contemplates an armed citizenry, the state militia with its mandatory membership. Since the sheriffs swore to support our federal and state constitutions, then you must not permit federal authorities to come into your county and disarm your people. If our lace panty wearing Tennessee state legislators refuse to stand up with manly firmness to the lawless acts of the federal government as they attempt to disarm us, then our sheriffs really are our last hope. But you are not alone. You have the specific statutory authority, Section 38-3-102, to form your own posse with as many men in your county as you think proper. Sheriff Mack said he had 125,000 armed men in his posse. This is how you defend your people in your county in the event the federal government invades your county and attempts to disarm your people. In closing, a warning about the despicable business of federalizing the county sheriffs and the Tennessee State Highway Patrol. When Obama ran for office, he said he wanted a civilian national security force, which is, quote, just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded as the military, end quote. Why does he want a civilian national security force? I'll show you. Congress holds the power over our military. Pursuant to Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 11 through 16, Congress is the one who declares war, determines the funding, and makes the rules for the governance of the military. Under the Constitution, the president is merely the commander-in-chief. The Federalist Papers say that commander-in-chief is merely the top general. Congress controls our armed military. Obama wants a powerful armed force over which he has total and exclusive control. The Department of Homeland Security is an executive agency under his control, and that is the vehicle he is using to federalize state and county law enforcement by putting them under the control of Homeland Security. Now, in 2004, the Tennessee State Legislature passed Section 38-3-114, which effectively puts the county sheriffs, you, under the control of the Department of Homeland Security. I don't know if they're enforcing it now, but it is in place for them to enforce when the time is ripe for them. This is the department which published the memo saying that veterans, Bible reading Christians, people who talk about the Constitution, people who oppose abortion, and people who support gun rights are dangerous to the federal government. We need to get Section 38-3-114 and the parallel provision for the State Highway Patrol repealed this session. And if our panty waist legislators don't repeal it, then just ignore the damn thing. Don't take any money from the federal government. You don't need federal money to...
All right, that's a great clip that we played. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you were empowered by that. We're almost out of time here on the show. You know, Dr. Carly's going to be here next Tuesday, so I hope you'll be with us. We'll be back here Thursday the 16th. Empower you further. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed mental physician before using any product or therapy. That's if you dare. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.